Hi, welcome to the Inspire Church podcast. Thank you for tuning in. But before you listen to the message, we want to celebrate that we have met our match. We were granted a matching grant, and in a month and a half, we made it. So thank you, friends and family, for your generosity. We are eternally grateful.
As many of you know, last Sunday, we started a new sermon series that we entitled Beautiful Tensions. Beautiful tensions. And the idea behind a tension is that it is kind of two seemingly opposite elements that are pulling against each other. And many times when it comes to tensions, we want to minimize the tensions. We want to maybe even forget the tensions, run away from the tensions. But there are some tensions that God is calling us to lean into. There are some tensions that are meant to stretch you. And as your body stretches, you know, you become more reflexive. You become more flexible. When your body stretches, you become stronger. When your body stretches, it actually allows you to perform better. And so there are some tensions that the Lord is not calling us to deny, that the Lord is not calling us to hide from, to run from, but to lean into so that we would be strengthened and stretched and look more like Jesus. Last week, Pastor Roger did an incredible job talking about grace and truth. And if you haven't visited a home group, you can, after service, sign up for a home group because we've been able to talk about those tensions. We had an amazing time in Castro Valley. Shout out to Castro Valley Home Group talking about last week's tension. And I cannot wait to talk about this morning's tension. And just to relieve your tension, I'll tell you what the tension is. This morning, we are talking about working and resting. You feel that tension? Yeah. If you have your Bibles or your Bible apps, it's going to be a short read, but I'd love for you to go there if you can. Open with me to Matthew chapter 11. We are going to read verses 28 through 30. It's actually a pretty famous text, Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. And again, today we will be navigating through the tension of working and resting and working. Matthew chapter 11, 28 through 30. And I'll wait for you to open up your Bibles and open up your Bible apps as we go through this particular text. Matthew chapter 11, 28 through 30. This morning we are talking about living in the beautiful tension of resting and working, working and resting. Amen?
Amen.
These are the words of Jesus in Matthew 11, 28 through 30. Jesus says this, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Pastor John Piper called this passage perhaps the sweetest invitation in the entire New Testament. Pastor Timothy Keller said, "If you're considering Christianity, all that it can be, all that it is, can be summarized in this simple yet profound text." One commentator put it like this: "Anyone who understands this invitation has come into the very heart of the Christian faith." So if you're feeling exhausted today, if you walked into the church this morning or you're listening online and you feel weary and overwhelmed, there is good news. Jesus is inviting you to come to him and find rest for your souls. And so I want to navigate today's tension in three parts. I want to talk about slave labor. I want to talk about soul rest. And I want to talk about light work. Slave labor, soul rest, and light work. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, this room is full of workers. This room is full of overwhelmed, exhausted, tired people. And so this morning I pray that your word would not come back void, but that it would accomplish everything that it is intended, designed to do, so that every heart and every mind in this room would leave this place and say, "I heard from Jesus this morning." So Lord, would you anoint me And would you receive all honor and glory as we learn to rest in you. And we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Are you slave to your labor? Sociologists agree the modern West is one of the most, if not the most, workaholic cultures in the history of humanity. But the East is not too far behind. In fact, did you know, in Japan, death by overwork has become so common that it's even been given its own name. It's called Karachi. Here in the Bay Area, home to the Silicon Valley, we are no strangers to overwork. Amen? As technological advancements have ensured that now we can bring work home with us. So that what was traditionally places of rest, like your bedroom, have now become extended office spaces for more work. We give all we have in our 9-to-5 and only to come home and give our homes and our families what's left over. It's not a question as to whether or not we are enslaved to our work. I think many of us would agree. But rather, who are our taskmasters? Because as a slave, you have a master. And so what we want to do today is we don't want to argue about whether or not we are slaves to our work. Again, I think we would agree that we are. But we want to reveal and unveil the faces of our masters. What's behind this slave labor that's driving you into the ground? Pastor Timothy Keller, as many of you know, is one of my favorites. And he names a few trends. And I thought I'd bring some of those trends to the table and put a little Bay Area twist to these trends in some of my own commentary. What is driving us to the ground? Like, who are our masters? If we are enslaved to continual, constant activity and work, what is pushing us? Well, number one, Pastor Timothy Keller noticed, and he's from New York City, and I think we can learn some things from New York City, and they can learn some things from us, and we'd see some similarities. Number one, he said that there is a job insecurity. Like that job insecurity is one of those things that push us, that enslave us. Well, what does he mean by that? Well, y'all know performance reviews. And profit margins have become the driving decision makers. So when the numbers are down, some of you are traumatized right now, right? And the production is low. Individuals, whole teams, and even entire departments are eliminated. And unfortunately, mass layoffs have become a common experience at Inspire Church. I've sat with many of you who either have been a victim to mass layoffs or who are constantly afraid that the email or the Zoom call is coming. We are driven by fear. Fear is a taskmaster. Fear is a slaver. Fear is a master that drives us to overwork. Can I get an amen? How about number two, exceeding expectations? Exceeding, as Siri speaks up. Exceeding expectations. What do I mean by that? So one taskmaster might be the fear of losing our job, but another taskmaster is this idea of exceeding expectations. I'm often encountering people who experience a kind of peer pressure at work. Let me try and paint the picture and see if you feel this. If everyone's staying late, what will it look like if I leave on time? Anybody feel that? Yeah. If everyone's staying late, what will it look like if I leave on time? Or how about this? If everyone's going to happy hour with the manager, I better go. I need to network and I need to develop friendships and relationships. Okay, maybe I thought that was something everybody would agree. How about this? Do you experience the pressure to go above and beyond at your job? Yeah. Right? And don't deny it, because I've talked to many of you, and I'll call you out by name. No, just kidding. Yeah, you're not only doing your job, but another job, because you're hoping that you can get a new job. And so you got your projects and her projects and his projects, and you're creating projects that the job doesn't even know about because you're hoping to impress and perform. We are all being driven by the pressures to perform and impress. You see that? Do you see the taskmasters? Do you see the slavers? Do you see what is crushing and driving? How about this one? Meaning, significance. Do you remember growing up being asked, what do you want to be when you grow up? I feel like that was the question of my generation. What are you going to be when you grow up, right? Tim Keller comments that many, many moons ago, as my dad would say, we would gain our significance from our traditional roles, right? Mom, dad, social roles. But today, significance and meaning is now derived from our work, our job, our careers. Are you with me? We are, Keller says, we are the first culture to ever define ourselves by deciding what we want to be and then actually attaining it. And here's what I mean by that. Not only do we define ourselves by what we want to be, but then our significance is attached to whether we actually do it or not. So that if we fall short and we don't accomplish, then we are being driven to do whatever it takes to achieve that goal in order to feel good about ourselves. Are you with me? Yes. Keller will go on to conclude that there has never been more psychological, social, and emotional pressure on work to either be fulfilling or at least lucrative. This is why we are job hoppers now, right? A whole new generation of constantly jumping from job to job. In fact, we're advised to do that, right? Because the goal is don't work there unless you find meaning and significance there. Unless you can derive value and identity. Now, it's beautiful to work in a place that you believe in. Like, I'm not calling you or saying that it's godly to work in a place that just, you know, is toxic in its culture and that you find no meaning. But what I'm saying is be very, very careful that you look to your job to give you your supreme significance. Are you with me? And so finally, our final taskmaster is this. We are driven by our need to feel valuable and important. Do you see that? In his book, The Subversive Sabbath, A.J. Swoboda observes, as we drown ourselves in 24/7 living, we seem to be able to do anything but quench our true thirst for the life of God. We have become perhaps the most emotionally exhausted, psychologically overworked, and spiritually malnourished people in history. I want to pause here, right? Of course you're exhausted. Of course you're tired, right? Of course your body aches and your eyes hurt, right? I need glasses because I stare at a screen all day. Of course our bodies are breaking down, right? We're exhausted because of our physical labor. But hear me out. Our physical exhaustion is only a symptom. Our physical exhaustion is only a surface symptom of something much deeper. Wow. You see, there's a much deeper problem that needs to be addressed. It needs to be pulled up by its roots. Otherwise, you'll never rest. And so if you came in here today looking for physical rest, the goal of you, it's not about taking another nap. It's about addressing the slavers and the taskmasters that are driving you to the ground. I want you to note this if you're taking notes. Underneath it all is a restless soul, tormented continually by our need to justify ourselves. You know that? That's all it is. You know what it means to justify yourself? It means to prove that you're not a failure. To prove that you're good enough. to make sure that everyone knows that you're valuable, that you deserve to exist, that your life has meaning. Underneath it all is a restless soul tormented continually by our need to justify ourselves. Now, I'm going to go off on a tangent that I feel like is going to be really helpful for us. You know, some of us are trying to justify ourselves before God. Did you know that? Like, some of us are doing this in church. Yeah. We're trying to justify ourselves before God, thinking that if we could just pray a little more. Have you ever said that? Yeah. If we could just read the Bible a little more, if we could just memorize more scriptures and go to church a little bit more, then we're going to make God happy with us. You're trying to prove to God that you're a worthy disciple. You're trying to prove to God. You're trying to jump through hoops and ropes. Right, this is just what you do. Like, this Christians, we go to church. And so if I don't go to church, then I'm not a Christian. If I don't pray. And all of a sudden, we've created all these rules and all these laws, and we're trying to live up to them. And it's killing us. Are you with me? You see, when Jesus gave this invitation, he was giving it to people who were being crushed by legalism and religion. Anybody in here crushed by legalism and religion? What is that? You see, those who were supposed to represent God, the clergy, they misrepresented God by placing extra expectations on people. Extra rules, extra laws, extra traditions. And all these extra expectations, God never intended. And so the people were committing spiritual suicide trying to live up to these impossible standards, trying to justify themselves and earn God's love. I see this way too often in churches today. Some of you in here are recovering performers, and you relapse all the time. You know what it's like to be manipulated and used by pastors and churches. Amen? Is that wrong to say? You know what it's like for them to twist the scriptures. This is not all of you, but some of you. You know what it's like for pastors and churches to use spiritual language to work you to the bone. So that you're doing everything to perform. So that God would love you more. Or so that the pastors and leaders would look at you and say, now there's a good son and daughter. Wow. Are you with me? Yeah. And at best, you're still standing. But you're bitter and burned out. And you're afraid to commit. Are you with me? You're isolated and suspicious of doing anything for the church now. Right? Oh, no, I can't do that, Pastor. I can't. I need to sit. I need to receive. I've been used and abused in my past. And it's been years. And you're withholding your gift. And you're refusing to build up the kingdom and participate in the body because you're suspicious and scared and traumatized. At worst, some have determined to walk away from God because of the misrepresentation of God by pastors and churches. Not only have they walked away from God, but they're sitting somewhere with a counselor deconstructing every bit of their faith. But you know what's happening? They're just trading yokes. They're just trading one for another. What do I mean by that? You see, we go from justifying ourselves to God to then trying to justify ourselves to man. Like, we just exchange gods. We leave the church and then we throw ourselves into something else. Come on, y'all. We leave the church and we throw ourselves into careers. Now, you go to small groups, but now it's called happy hour. And instead of just going one day a week, you go to that temple every day. Or maybe sports. Right? You know, it's so funny. I've said this before, but like, you know, there's all kinds of like unbelievers that are tailgating every Sunday. Like, oh, you got a church. You're doing the same thing. You have a small group. It's the same group you tailgate with. You pay your tithes. It's called the money that you give to see your team cheer. You worship. And look, I'm not saying it's wrong, dude. I'm just saying, like, let me show you the meme. I'm just saying, and you can put up the next slide. This is you. Show Spider-Man real quick. Right? That's religious people on the right and like irreligious people on the left. And they're the same people. It's like, you've been burned by the church. That's why I don't go to church. Well, you're being burned by something else. Like, we are all, underneath it all, whether you're religious or not, we are all performing, pretending, trying to measure up. We become enslaved to our fears. Wow. We become in bondage to perfectionism. I have that problem every time I preach a sermon. In fact, I'm preaching this sermon and constantly dealing with perfectionism. You know how they say practice what you preach? I just read something that was just so, like, you know, pastors, you better practice what you preach. That's bondage. This is hard. No, I'm not saying, hey, I can just live any way I want and I should be a fake. I'm just saying, if I'm able to accomplish everything that I preach, then there's something wrong with what I'm preaching, because this is hard. And so I am literally prepping for a sermon on work and rest, and perfectionism is killing me. I'm up all night. Ask my wife. You're not even gonna. I'm up all night slaving away. As soon as lunchtime comes, what did Pastor say? I don't know. But I'm just saying, you put all this effort in, it's like, well, thank God we do small groups. Otherwise, man, all that effort will be gone like 2 days. We become in bondage to perfectionism. Anybody here in bondage to perfectionism? Yeah. We've just traded religions. And now we're slaves to persuading our parents. That we were a worthy investment. How about this? You're impressing our friends. Keeping up with the Joneses. The American dream. The house. The backyard. The car. Or how about this? Proving our worth to our employers. Come on, y'all. It's the temple of your employees or employers. It's the temple of your job that you go to sacrifice and lay down your life so that you can be high and lifted up. Right? We don't think it's very spiritual. It's very religious. It's just not used in the same language. Come on, y'all. And so the folks that point at the religious people and say, aha, you're getting used by the church, right? You just exchanged gods. And here's what's crazy is people in the church are getting used by people. It's everywhere. Like, you didn't walk away from religion. You just found a new one. And the pressure to perform is still exhausting, still weighing you down. And you hear this every Sunday. And yet as the years go by, you know, there's so many Christians. It's like the longer you're in Christ, the heavier you are. Some of you have been coming to church a long time. You just get heavier and heavier. And it realized that though you know this to be true, you're struggling to believe it. And that's okay, because we all are in this struggle. And we need to constantly be reminded. I want you guys to notice the word yoke that Jesus uses in the invitation, right? He says, take my yoke upon you. Notice the word yoke. I want to pay attention to a yoke. I have a picture of a yoke for you just in case you didn't grow up on a farm. A yoke is a heavy wooden beam with two metal rings meant to be placed on a beast of burden, like an oxen or a horse. Now, the purpose of the yoke is to bind the beast, right? And the purpose of the yoke in binding the beast is the yoke is heavy, right? And it's inflexible, and it's tunnel visioned. Are you with me? But what makes the yoke potent is that a weaker beast is bound to a stronger beast. And we can show that next slide. So you notice there are two rings under a yoke. Now, what is the strength of tying a weaker beast to a stronger beast? So that even when the weaker beast gets weary, the stronger beast keeps pulling, keeps pushing, keeps driving, keeps going, keeps pulling, keeps pushing, keeps driving, keeps going, so that even the beast that wants to rest can't rest because it's continually being drugged by something greater, stronger, more powerful. Listen, when Jesus invites us to yoke ourselves to him, the implication is that he is also inviting us to unyoke ourselves from those heavy burdens that are pushing, driving, tormenting, and holding you down. Wow. When we do this, we'll find rest for our souls. Yes. Yes. Rest for our souls. Yes. Now, here's what I want to say as we move from slave labor to soul rest. There are three things I want to say about soul rest that I think are really important for us to catch. Like, this is really kind of the meat and potatoes here. I want to say three things. Number one, how do we find it? How can we get it? And how was it achieved, right? And actually, the better word is, where do we find it? How do we get it? And how was it achieved? Soul rest. So where do we find it? Where can you find soul rest? Well, I want you to notice, Jesus' invitation was not an invitation to come with me to a 5-star resort. In the Bay Area, where we are slaves to work, vacation becomes heaven. Yeah. As if a well-planned vacation can save you from your soul, from your restless soul. How many of you have planned a vacation? You spend a lot of money. You go out there, sure, you take some great photos. And I'm not denying it's a great time. But how many times have you come back and you're just tired? Yeah. You're tired from your vacation. Vacation is tiring. Yeah. Your husband got on your nerves. Right? Just arguing. where are we going to eat, babe? My wife and I, we went on a vacation. Remember, one day we tried to do an unplanned day. Not the business. Where are we going to go? I don't know. Where do you want to go? Well, I thought we could start here. Well, you know, and all of a sudden, it's just like, wait, we're on vacation. Yeah. Sorry, babe. Totally my fault. Pastor Andy, where are you at? I know about you. If you ever go on vacation, Pastor Andy, he's got a minute to minute. Yeah. And I've got to be honest, it's actually kind of, there's rest in that. But he ain't resting. I'm going to go ahead because he got it all planned out, right? But my point is, you go on vacation, it's just work. It's work. It's work. Notice Jesus said, come with me to a 5-star resort. Notice Jesus did not invite us to a way of life. Right? He didn't say, come with me to yoga class. Let me teach you how to breathe and stretch and exercise. And let me teach you to have a proper diet so your body can recover. Granted, all those things are great. Well, some of you might have a problem with yoga. I'm talking about the stretching, okay? But Jesus didn't say that, did he?
No.
Nor did Jesus invite us to a philosophy.
Wow.
Right? Or just another religion. Just a religious experience. Come with me to the altar.
Wow.
No. Instead, what did he say? He said, come to what? Me.
Yeah,
you see that? Where can you find soul rest? Not on vacation.
Jesus.
Not at the gym.
Thank you,
not in church.
Jesus.
But in him.
Wow.
He says, come to me.
Thank you.
Me.
Thank you, God.
Me. You see, you're not going to find soul rest by just going to church every Sunday. You're not going to find soul rest by just memorizing scripture. In fact, if you're doing all of that to find soul rest and you're not in Christ, it's just going to make you tired, burnt out. And you're going to be one of those that leave the church deconstructing your entire faith because it didn't work.
Wow.
Those folks, they never really met Christ. They met religion. They met a pastor that they wanted to impress. And when the pastor, who is sinful, lets them down, and I will let you down, stick around for a while. I'm not giving myself license to do it. I'm just saying I'm a sinner. When the pastor let them down and the church people got a little annoying, right? All of a sudden, it's like you weren't coming to Christ. You were coming to something, someone else. And so the first thing he says is, don't run to church. He says, come to me.
Yeah.
Now, is church wrong? No, it's beautiful. Is memorizing scripture wrong? It's beautiful. It's wonderful. The truth of God will wash your mind. It'll help transform you. But unless you do it in Christ,
wow,
it'll all just become these works, these hoops, these jump ropes. And you might as well be in the world. Because you're either enslaved to legalism or you're enslaved to the world. But you're a slave. And you get Spider-Man. You can travel all you want. Eat all the comfort food that you want. It's going to catch up to you. You can obtain all the possessions in the world. You can extend the backyard or buy a bigger place. But you'll never truly find rest for your soul unless you go, you come to Jesus. Y'all doing okay? We move from where do we find it to how can we get it? I want you to pay special attention to the word. Jesus says, come to me, to the word come. 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 I love that. That word is just so, it's an invitation. It's not forceful. Jesus is not taking us by the neck and forcing us. He simply invites us. He invites us. He invites us to come. How can we find this rest for our soul? By coming to Jesus in humility. And like a child in utter dependence on him. By admitting that your way is exhausting. By admitting that your way is crushing you. Burning you out. How do we come to Jesus? We come to him like a child in complete dependence upon him. We turn away from our works and repeated efforts to justify ourselves, and we trust in the work of Jesus Christ, the work that he achieved. The work that he accomplished for our justification. See, those who come to Christ are not justified by themselves, but they're justified in Christ. Those who come to Christ know that they didn't do the work, but that Christ does the work. Where do we find it? How can we get it? And how was it achieved? Three ways that soul rest was achieved for us in the life of Christ, In the death of Christ and in the resurrection of Christ, he achieved your soul rest. Let me explain each one briefly. Soul rest was achieved in the life of Christ. How so? Glad you asked. Jesus lived a perfect life. Did you know that?
Yeah.
He's perfect. No flaws.
Wow.
No speeding tickets. All of those who have one laugh, so just outed yourself. He was perfectly obedient to the Father so that we can lay down the pressures of perfectionism. Oh, gosh, that was way better. I like that. Yeah, I know. I'm saying, you know what I mean? I guess I need a little affirmation today. I need, Christ, you have affirmed me. But he lived perfectly so that you don't have to be enslaved to perfection. So that when you put your faith in Jesus, you don't have to earn your perfection. He gives you his. And so why feel the pressure to be perfect when Christ has already perfected you in the eyes of the Father? He didn't just accomplish it in his perfect life, but he also accomplished it in his death.
Yeah.
There's something Tim Keller said, on the cross, his soul became restless so that your soul would have rest. My God, why have you forsaken me? His soul became restless so that your soul could be at rest. Because the source of a restless soul is a soul that's disconnected from God. He took upon himself the punishment that we deserve. He took upon himself our sin. Do you know that? He took upon himself our shame so that we might have his rewards, his righteousness, and his honor. On the cross, he took upon himself our hard, harsh, and heavy yoke so that we might have his yoke, which is gentle, lowly, and light. So why would you suffer the harsh, heavy, hard yokes of this world when Jesus freely offers to you his gentle, lowly, easy, and light yoke? Not only did he accomplish our soul rest in the life of Christ and the death of Christ, but also in the resurrection of Christ. You see, because Christ was raised from the dead, all voices of doubt are silenced. Every oppressive insecurity that pushes you beyond your limits, every shame, every condemnation, every accusation that says you're not good enough, every temptation to impress, every temptation to perform and prove that you are worthy is silenced at the resurrection of Christ. Because of the life of Christ, because of the death of Christ, because of the resurrection of Christ, God now looks down on you and says, this is my son, this is my daughter, in whom I am well pleased. And if God is pleased with you, why are you trying so hard to please everyone else? The only one that matters is completely satisfied with you because of Christ. And so if he is satisfied and he is impressed, not because of what you've done, but because of what Christ has done for you, why do you need to keep striving, working, impressing, toiling, justifying that you are worthy, that you are impressive? Proving to your parents, impressing your employers, looking for title, prestige, clout, likes, invitations. If I have been accepted by the one who matters most, whether I'm accepted by everyone else shouldn't crush me.
Wow. Wow.
and I shouldn't be enslaved. Are you with me?
Yes.
Here's the good news. Notice the life, death, and resurrection of Christ. None of it is your doing. That's great news. Jesus achieved it. He accomplished it. What he gives to us, we need not worry or work for. All we are invited to do is rest and receive. Have you received Christ? Have you put your faith in him? Have you trusted in him to justify you? If so, why are you justifying yourself? Finally, herein lies the tension. Some of you are wondering, when is he getting to the tension? Isn't this a tension series? Yes, beautiful tension. Here's the tension. Ready? Once our soul finds rest, our work becomes light. Light work. Listen, this is so important, guys. We can be so eager to rest that we miss this. Don't miss this. Right? Though it's easy, there's still a yoke. Y'all see the tension?
Yeah.
There's a tension there. Easy, yoke. How about this? Though it's light, there is still a burden. Y'all don't get this. There's a tension. It's light, but there's a weight.
Yeah.
It's easy, but there's a yoke.
Yeah.
You see the tension?
Yeah.
There's rest, but there's work.
Yeah.
I think sometimes some of us, we've been so traumatized that we think the Sabbath is 6 days a week. And we work on the seventh. Can I just give you a little nugget? Before sin entered into the world, mankind was working. Work is not the result of the fall.
Wow.
When work is redeemed, it becomes a joy.
Yeah.
Mm. Becomes a joy.
Yes. Yes.
Comes a joy.
Yes.
I knew I'd only get two claps on that. So what is this light work? Let me two things, and we're almost done. I know he's like two things, three things, five things. Take good notes. Listen to the podcast. I can send you my stuff. Two things. And we're almost finished, said the preacher. Number one, let me say this. How does soul rest make light work? Let me explain. Number one, soul rest empowers us to obey. I love that. Soul rest empowers us to obey, because some of y'all need this, right? Some of y'all need this. See, a yoke in scripture can also refer to God's commands. Watch this. In Christ, obedience to God's word is no longer burdensome. When you truly understand the life, death, and resurrection of Christ, obedience to him no longer becomes a duty, but it becomes a delight. You know how you can tell someone is really in Christ? When obedience is not burdensome. Now, some of you are like, well, wait a minute. It can be a little burdensome for me. Well, you're not a Christ. No, I'm kidding. When you're in Christ and you know that he's done the work, there's a love that wells up.
Yeah. Yeah.
And our motivation now becomes a motivation of love.
Thank
you, Jesus. Becomes a burden of love. Like when we love someone or something, what a beautiful, we're willing to work.
Yes. Yes. Thank you, Jesus.
You see, in Christ, the law of God and the word of God become our delight. Mm-hmm. Some of you are still enemies with God's word.
Wow.
And if you're at odds with God's word, then you're not in Christ.
Wow.
If you love me, you'll obey my commandments. Mm-hmm. That's not an Old Testament scripture. Now, here's the thing. In Christ, are you ready? When you put your faith, when you really, not like, oh, I put my faith verbally, but when you put your faith, you trusted in him. It wasn't just a verbal affirmation or just like I'm showing up to church. It's this deep trust that he knows what's best. You know what the scripture tells us? The Holy Spirit is given to you. The Spirit of God. God. The Spirit comes in. And guess what? The Spirit of God empowers you to begin to walk away from sin. Oh, I know we don't like that. And walk towards Christ. And we do it, and it's not easy. I'm not saying it's easy. I'm saying is we do it out of love and joy. Yeah. And that's what makes it light. Wow. Not that it's easy or like, man, it's a piece of cake. We could just walk. It's not. It's hard in these streets. But it's worth it because Jesus is so much better. And because he's already given us his righteousness. And so even though it's hard, it's light. Because the Spirit is empowering you and love is motivating you. Otherwise, you've missed it. You've made it about something else. This is just a social club. Number two, soul rest empowers us to obey. Finally, soul rest calls us to discipleship. Again, another, it's weird, right? He says, take my yoke. And I don't know if you saw, he says, learn from me. See that word learn? Learn. That's what a disciple is, an apprentice, a learner. To learn from Jesus is to watch him. To listen to him, to allow his ways to become your ways. Look at how he loves. Look at how he forgives. Mm-mm. Look at how he does the will of his Father. It's an invitation to follow Jesus as a lifelong learner and live in rhythms of life. This means that this invitation to soul rest also comes with a call to live a life on mission. To not just be a spectator. I think we treat church like the movies. Right? We come in, we sit down, we watch the show, and then we leave. But the church is not a Sunday morning experience. The church is the gathering of the body and then the scattering of the body to live the beautiful life of Christ on mission. And some of us, we're just consumers. We're just, no wonder why you're tired. No wonder why you don't want to come. I wouldn't want to come to church neither if all it was a Sunday experience. Wow. I can go to brunch on a Sunday. I can wake up late. But if the church is a place where you gather, where the body of Christ comes together, where you're encouraging one another, building one another up, serving one another, loving one another, it actually is not a tiring place. It's an encouraging space. Yeah, we don't. To give. Oh no, he's going to talk about giving. Some of you, it's a burden to give. It's a burden. Just so burdensome. And yet Christ says, is where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. To serve, to build up the body of Christ. Not because you're trying to prove yourself or earn God's love, but because you're already loved. Now, as we finish today, I want to share a story. Recently, my wife got a job. Yeah, you can clap. It's okay to be excited. Some of you are like, is that a good thing? And, you know, she got this job after several years of being an incredible stay-at-home mom, which is a job in itself. Yeah. Shout out to all the stay-at-home moms. You are working. And I thank God for that. Because my son can be a burden. Light one, light burden. But when she got the job, she was really excited and she knew that it was a blessing from the Lord. In fact, we were praying and trying to look for this right space, asking the Lord to open the right doors. And you know, and it, you go through your job experience and sometimes, you know, you take a couple interviews, you're excited and then you get turned down. It just kind of brings some, but this job opened up and this, I could tell you so much more, but it was just such a blessing from the Lord. And we both knew, man, this is God. But you know, she says that the excitement quickly turned into anxiety and stress as she began to overthink her performance. Right? She began to second guess the quality of her work. She was so overwhelmed that all of a sudden this blessing became a burden. You ever felt that way? And so she was overwhelmed and then she began to pray. And I love that. She came to Jesus and this is her words, not mine. She says, while I was praying, I realized that I was attempting to fulfill everyone's expectations. which uncovered my desire for control, validation, recognition, financial stability, all the slave drivers, right? And then she said, and most unexpectedly, it uncovered my lack of trust in God. And I love what she felt the Lord showed her. She said, I believe that God revealed to me that I was striving for things that he had already given to me. Wow. I'm already accepted. I'm already validated. I'm already recognized and rich and stable in him. And so there was no need to perform for others when I was already loved by God. My wife went on to say that when she realized this, she finally realized this, she experienced what she called a beautiful sense of release and surrender. She said, I started to work with joy. Wow. And look, and she says, and I began to see beyond myself and to look for the opportunities that God was presenting. That's a missional life. When you're going to work, not trying to like expand your own kingdom, but when you're going to work strategically saying, God, why do you have me here? You see that?
Yeah.
She said, I wondered what lives he was calling me to influence and what changes he might use me to make within this organization. I love that. She's expanding the Garden of Eden. I knew that I was no longer working for myself. And that even if I lost this job, my family and I would be okay. My identity wasn't determined by a moment in the workplace, but had already been determined by God. She concluded, the gospel has provided a foundation for me, both mentally and emotionally. And so she works and rests, and she lives in that tension. Does she get it perfectly? No. But she remembers and reminds. She found rest for her weary soul in Christ. And as a result, her yoke was easy and her burden was light. Stand to your feet. If you can. Before we sing this final chorus to just bring it all in, I want to read to you Matthew 11, 28 through 30, and I want to read it out of the Message. I think Eugene Peterson does such an incredible job of capturing this, and I want you to kind of lean into these words. If you want to close your eyes, if you want to open your eyes, you want to read along with me, you totally can. And then we're going to just sing. And then we're going to pray. And so if you could just kind of be in the moment right now and hear these words. Matthew 11, 28 through 30. The Message says this. Are you tired? Worn out? Burn out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. My yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just pray right now. I speak to everyone in this place who's tired, worn out, and exhausted. Those who have been burned by religion, those who are being burned in all other spaces and places of life. Lord, we speak to those taskmasters, those enslavers. Right, those things, those words, those places and spaces that we are yoked to. And we come to Jesus. And would you just come to Jesus? We come to Jesus. We receive your rest. We receive the work that you've done on the cross. Well, right now, we remember that you are perfect and that you've given me your perfection so that I don't need to pretend and perform for others. And we know that you died on the cross, and on that cross, you suffered the wrath of God that I deserve. You took a heavy, hard yoke. You gave me something easy and light. You're gentle and you're lowly, and you rose from the grave, and now I can walk with my head held high. Now I can walk yoked together with Christ, and Christ won't drag me, and he won't pull me, and he won't kill me or harm me or push me. He'll love me. He'll forgive me. He'll wash me. He'll cleanse me. He'll empower me. And so I pray as we leave this place that we would always remember the rest that we have in Christ, and that that memory of the rest we have in Christ, that joy, that access that we have, the rest we have in Christ, would cause us then to work lightly. That we would be a people living sent. We'd be people living on mission. And that we would be a people that would give you all honor and give you all glory in everything that we say and we do. That our 9-to-5s, our Mondays through Saturdays, would give you glory. Would you help us to be a church that lives not to attract your love, but lives from your love. We're already loved. We praise you. We give you honor and glory, for you are worthy of it all. And we pray these things in the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. Come on, church. As you leave, I want to invite you to home groups this week. This is going to be an incredible conversation in small groups. If you don't have a place, feel free to look at every day, every city. Maybe not every city, but a lot of cities are available for you. Have a wonderful Sunday. God bless you, Inspire Church.
Hey, thank you for tuning in. And if you'd like to continue to bless the ministry financially, please give at inspirechurches.com. Have a beautiful day.